making moral use of our ears. God inspired word not only encourages us but challenges us, warns us to be careful. To be careful what we hear, how we hear, and who we hear. That's right. God's word challenge us, warn us that we must be careful what we hear. We must be careful how we hear. That is, make sure that you are a proper listener, and who we hear. That when it comes to certain subject matter, you don't listen to just any and anybody. Now, in the first lesson, we spent much of the time on the what we hear. And Mark, I'll be picking up on that very point this morning. Now, as we look at this lesson and the truth contained therein, we encourage you to pay keen interest in getting from the lesson as much as you can. In the first lesson, some time was spent examining the divine emphasis on using our ears properly, wisely, and beneficially. I repeat, using our ears wisely, properly, and beneficially. Among some of the passages that we threw out then, 2 weeks ago, was passage like Proverbs chapter 5, verse 1, and verse 12 and 13. Proverbs 23, verse 9, Isaiah 48. And verse 8, Matthew chapter 11, verse 15, Matthew chapter 13, verse 9, verse 43, Mark chapter 4, verse 23 through 25, Luke chapter 8, verse 18, Revelation chapter 2, verse 7, verse 11 and verse 17. These are but some of the passages that were brought to bear on the first lesson, and some of them, of course, will be brought to bear on the lesson this morning. He that hath an ear to hear, let him hear. That statement has been repeated so many times in the New Testament. And, you know, for most of us, of course, it was a proverb used in Christ's time. Anyone who has an ear to hear, let him hear. That among other things, is saying, your ear was given to you for hearing. Use it for that purpose. But then we get down to the finer points of Who do you hear? How do you hear? And things like that. We ended last week's lesson examining the warning not to be careless, not to be irresponsible, not to be indiscriminate listeners, but that we should be careful listeners. We should be discriminate listeners. We should be sensible listeners. We should be attentive listeners. Let us run to the passage of Mark chapter 4. Verse 24. Let us hear it.
And he said unto them, Take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you and unto you that hear.
I want you to listen again. I want you to listen again. Read again, brother, verse 24. Take heed. Huh? Now, almost every adult here understands the idea of taking heed. That is, pay attention. Be careful. Who is the speaker here? Jesus Christ. Take heed.
What ye hear.
What you hear. Wait. It is encouraging us to be discriminate listener. Don't waste your time listening every foolishness out there. And whatever the subject, take heed what you hear. But I have some further interest in the passage. Read on.
With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you.
Stop there a while. You would almost draw the conclusion that what Christ has just said is totally disconnected from what he had just said before. First he said, take heed what you hear. Then it's like he's finished with that. And he's saying now, with what measure
ye meet,
you measure out or meet out,
it shall be measured to
you. It's like that has no connection to take heed what you hear. Brothers and sisters, it is directly tied to what you hear. Very important. In fact, more time going to be spent on this business of with what measure you measure out or meet out, it shall be measured to you. What connection does that have to do with take heed what you hear? May I? Many voices from many quarters are making claim upon each one of us every moment of the day. And that is a fact. In your neighborhood, at your workplace, in your home, in your car, on the street, there are many voices that are coming to you and me. Different people speaking to us on different subjects. And some of them, they're making demand. They are trying to persuade you or me to buy something or not to buy something, to believe something or not to believe something, to eat something or not to eat something, to wear something or not to wear something, to drive something or not to drive something. They are making demand on us. And it comes from various areas. It comes from the area of politics. It comes from the area of economics, finance, medicine, religion, name it. They are making demand on us, different voices, every day. radio, TV, the internet, oh, of mercy, the internet, woo. Oh God, are we all here? They make claim on us. And what you hear a lot of the claim being made on us from the many voices coming to us. A lot of it is what in our time is properly called fake news. Huh? Much of it is disinformation. Some of it is misinformation. And some of it is just downright lies. Are we all there? You know, Jeremiah's advice is not only timely, but it is instructive. I think it is found in chapter 6 and verse 16. It's a wise advice. And when you tie Jeremiah's advice with what the Apostle Paul said in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, let us hear Jeremiah first, verse chapter 6 and verse 16.
Thus saith the Lord.
This is what the Lord says.
Stand ye in the ways.
Stand ye in the ways.
And see.
And see.
And ask for the old path.
What do you want, brother? The old path.
Where is the good way?
Wait. The implication here by Jeremiah is that you reach a crossroad. You are a traveler and you reach a point where there are many roads. You must not just step on the road that look pretty. Because pretty road is not what you're looking for. You're looking for the right road. Am I not right, brother? Read on further.
And walk therein.
Wait, back up for me, please.
Where is the good way?
Where is the good way?
And walk therein.
When you find the good way, walk therein. You see, brothers and sisters, as I've said, claims are being made on us from various quarters. There are dozens, hundreds of voices coming to us in different forms. And it is for this reason we must be careful, listeners. Ephesians chapter 5, from around verse 6, let us hear it. Let us hear it.
Let no man deceive you with vain words.
Let nobody. You thought that the Christian religion is a religion that expects you to just believe anything that comes to you? No. Hear the inspired writer, the Apostle Paul, is commanding the Christian, let no one does what?
Deceive you with vain words.
With vain words. Some words are vain. They are religious teaching that are vain, false. It has no biblical basis. They are political, health, social teaching that if you follow it, it gets you in problem. Let no man deceive you with vain word. Read on.
For because of these things,
because of the vain talkers,
cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience.
Wait. Did you all hear? There are consequences when we believe things that are false. Because of these things what? When you permit yourself to listen to any foolishness comes along. It says because of that comes the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. Read on a little further, brother.
Be not ye therefore partakers with them.
Don't be led away by them. Are we all there? Amen. Are we all there? Brothers and sisters, in reference to our eternal salvation, are we there? In reference to our eternal salvation and peace with the Almighty God. Wait. Yes, you need to have peace with God. Every man, every woman need to be at peace with his Creator. Wait. I give you this as barter. This is barter. Don't charge you for this. You can never be truly at peace with yourself if you are not at peace with God. Wait. That's the way God constitutes us. We are fulfilled in God. It matters not how much money you have, how much education, how much big job, and how much this and that. You can never be truly at peace with self until you are at peace with God. And I'm here to say to you that, complete the point I was making, that our eternal salvation and our peace with the Almighty God, we do not receive spiritual truth regarding those two important areas, that is, our eternal salvation and having peace with God. We do not receive spiritual truth from any inner impulse. We do not receive spiritual truth from our dreams, our so-called vision. We do not receive spiritual truth from any inner striving. But Mr. Mitchell, look how many visions I got over the past many years. Those visions were not from God. That's right. So, Mr. Mitchell, where do we get truth from God to direct us to benefit from the eternal salvation provided in Jesus Christ? How can I get truth telling me how to have peace with God? That comes from one source, and that is the gospel of Jesus Christ, that was given over 2,000 years ago. Wait. There is no other way you are going to hear or get truth from God outside of the gospel of Jesus Christ. None. You know the Bible, in the book of Hebrews chapter 11, verse 6 tells us that faith comes by, without faith, it is impossible to please God. Watch me now. Without faith, it is impossible to please God.
Amen.
Watch here now. That's step one. You need faith.
For he that cometh to God
must believe that God is.
Amen.
And that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. May I? So faith is necessary. But then, when you turn now to the book of Romans chapter 10 and verse 17, what it says there. Faith comes
by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
That means no hearing God's word, no faith. You must have faith to be in a right relationship with God. That faith must come through you being taught the gospel of Jesus Christ. But we are not through there. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then look now at Jude. It has one chapter, verse 3. Jude, then Revelation. Let us have it.
Beloved.
When I gave all diligence.
To write unto you. Of the common salvation. It was needful for me to write unto you. And exhort you that ye should earnestly contend for the faith.
The what?
The faith. Which was once delivered unto the saints.
Wait. It was how many times delivered?
Once delivered.
And this, ladies and gentlemen, the faith is referring to the doctrine of Jesus Christ. The faith there means the teachings of Christ. That's what the Bible says, you know, that without listening to that teaching, you cannot have your subjective faith. That is your inner faith which you need to be in a right relationship with God. You must listen to the gospel of Christ. But that does not come through vision, dreams. It does not come through any inner thriving. It comes through listening the gospel of Christ. And here we show you the Bible says that that faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. Then the Bible tells us that which produced the faith, the doctrine of Christ, which supposed to produce your faith, it was once delivered. Mr. Mitchell, I thought that God was giving me vision every day. No, it was once delivered. The book of Jude was written about 66 A.D. What the brothers just read in Jude chapter 1. It has one chapter, verse 3. It was written at about 66 A.D. That's over 2,000 years ago. And when Jude wrote, then it says, delivered, that's past tense. The delivery was a done deal. Meaning, Mr. Mitchell, you're not going to have God delivering more messages to you and me, and more messages to you and me, and sending angel and giving you vision. No! It was once delivered to the saints. So anywhere you are going to listen to the Almighty God today, you have to turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ. But, Mr. Mitchell, what about angel and then business day? Run to the book of Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9. Run to that, brother. Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9.
But though we... Or an angel from heaven. Preach any other gospel unto you
than that
which we have preached unto you.
Let him be accursed.
As we said before.
Wait. It is so important, brother, that he's repeating it. He has just said it in verse 8. But it calls for a repetition. He's repeating it in verse 9. As we have said before, so say I now again.
If any man preach
any other gospel
than that ye have received, let him be accursed.
Everybody gets it? The writing and preaching and teaching of the apostle is the eternal standard for God's people. If angel come with something in your bed tonight, you must tell the angel that all that God wants you to know, it is in the gospel. talk about vision and inner striving and all of that. We must listen to the words of the gospel that was once delivered 2,000 years ago. Numerous voices, as I've said, are making demands on us. We must be selective. We must be discriminating in what we hear. Look at 1 Timothy chapter 5, and verse 21, I think. 1 Timothy chapter 5 and verse 21. Let us hear it.
I charge thee before God.
I charge thee before God. Did I say Timothy, brother?
1 Timothy.
I think I need Thessalonians. Very short verse there. I think I need verse 21, chapter 5.
Prove all things.
That's the right verse. Wait. Read it again.
Prove all things.
May I? That means put everything to the test. Put everything to the test.
Amen.
And watch here now.
Hold fast that which is good.
Don't hold on to any teaching, philosophy, dogma, until you have processed it through your mind, until you sift it. Please, don't let the smart aleck in your neighborhood cause you to believe foolishness, be it about politics, about medicine, about finance, about things social, about religion. No, put it to the test. Prove all things. It is only then you are in the position to hold tightly to that which is good. May I? Don't overlook the importance of the divine truth in the rest of verse 24 of Mark chapter 4. We're going to spend the rest of the time probably on those words. So much to say on this subject. Let us hear chapter 4 again, verse 24 of the book of Mark.
And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear.
Okay, so the Bible places a lot of emphasis on what we hear. The passage that was read a few minutes ago from the passage of Galatians chapter 1, verse 8 and 9, if an angel from heaven preach any other gospel to you than that which we have preached, that passage was placing the emphasis on what we hear. That's right. When angel bring you some teaching, you must make sure that the teaching from the angel is in keeping with what the apostles of Christ teaches. Not only that, in the book of 1 Timothy, we're not going to read these. To just run over them, there's a passage here, I believe it's chapter 6, verse 3, that tells us that there are some peoples whose mouth must be what? You're right on it. Some people's mouth must be stopped. Who says that, Brother Mitchell? God-inspired Apostle Paul. And he tells you why. Because of the falsehood they go teaching. What is the point? All the emphasis so far was on the what we hear. I don't even touch yet the how we hear. That will have to be saved for another time. But what I want to address for the next few minutes is with what measure you measure. Let me hear it again, brother. Verse 24.
And he said unto them, take heed what ye hear. With what measure ye meet, it shall be measured to you. And unto you that hear shall more be given.
Finish?
End of 24.
Okay. With what measure you meet. The word meet there, with what measure you measure out. Whatever you give, you're going to get. But Mr. Mitchell, in what way does that relate to be careful what you hear? It has direct connection. The passage are the proverbs taken up by Jesus Christ here is warning us of the terrible sin of carelessness, heedlessness, and thoughtlessness in listening to God's word. When you come, you notice how I'm saying this slowly, because it's important that we do not see any disconnect between this business of with what measure you meet out and take heed what you hear. All of it is tied up together. Jesus Christ is here teaching us, warning us, encouraging us to when you are dealing with God's word, approach it with all the conscientiousness, with all the thoughtfulness, with all the carefulness, with all the effort. That's what Jesus Christ is saying here. When you come to or approach God's word, what do you bring or come with? I need to ask that question again. You are coming to Bible study. Is it Wednesday night, Sunday morning, Sunday night? What is the disposition with which you come? Are you telling me, Brother Mitchell, that all that is in what Christ says about with what measure? It is. When you are approaching God's word, is it that you're at home and you're going to study a portion of God's word? What do you bring to God's word? That's what Christ is dealing with here. Wait. With what measure? What genuine interest, desire, what genuine appetite, what genuine attentiveness do you bring to the learning process, to the divine truth? When you approach God's word, are you coming to listen to a sermon? Are you coming to a Bible study? Are you studying the Bible by yourself in the home? Jesus Christ is saying, the amount of seriousness you put out, the amount of attentiveness you put out, the amount of carefulness you put out, the amount of reverence you put out towards God's word will determine how much help you get from God in understanding his word. That's what the passage is dealing with. With what measure you measure. In other words, how much you are putting out when you approach God's word in a sincere way, going to determine what assistance you get from the Almighty God. That's what the passage is about. Wait, this is why the Bible says that there are some people are ever learning, but never come to the knowledge of the truth. You get that? There are men and women that they read God's word every day, but they never understand it because they do not approach God's word with the sincerity, the commitment, the dedication, and the open-mindedness that they need to approach it with. So they'll study for a million years and they are still ignorant of God's will. Are we all there? Are we all there? Knowing, grasping, and understanding divine truth, a person's getting will in almost every case be determined by the person's giving. You didn't get that. I need to repeat it. Knowing God's word, grasping the truth in God's word, understanding the divine truth, a person's getting that truth, understanding that truth will, in almost every case, be determined by how much effort the person give to the effort. You come when you approach God's word. When you approach God's word. When you approach God's word, you come with a small vessel. And you're telling God, that's all I want. You come with a big vessel, you're telling God, that's how much I want. And the bigger the vessel you come, the more effort you put out, the more commitment you are to what you are trying to learn from God's word, is the more you're going to get God's assistance. With what measure you meet out, the same will be measured to you. That's why many of us, we have problem understanding God's word year in, year out. Because we do not know what it is to put out effort to know Jesus Christ and his will. Wait. The Almighty God watches the effort we put out. God has deep interest in what we come to God's word with. What is the appetite? What is the receptiveness? What is the sincerity? How much effort am I willing to put out to know his will? Run with me now to the book of St. John, chapter 17? Chapter 7 and verse 17. Run there with me quick. Run there. 7:17.
If any man will do his will, he shall know of the doctrine, whether it be of God or whether I speak of myself.
Could we back up? If any man will do his will.
Amen.
If any man is willing. That first will there is really willing. Any man or woman is willing to do his will. Jesus Christ said that person is going to learn the will. But you see, you notice, there must be something first. The willingness, the wanting to. That is key. Indeed, that we are coming to Bible study Sunday night, Sunday morning, Sunday school, Wednesday night, or you're studying God's word in the home or in the privacy of your office, wherever. When you and I approach God's word, God has deep interest in what you bring to his word. How much genuineness, how much sincerity, how much desire. I love to see children eat. You know, I have some grandchildren, like Melanie children, of course, Delano too. You can see it on him. But I love to see children, because they remind me of myself when I was growing up. I have an aunt in England, still alive. She's about 90, and she has about 5 nicknames for me, and all of them surround food. Truly, I would never tell you them. That's right, all of them surround food when I was growing up. I love food. You know, so when I see children want food, they eat this moment, and in another hour, them hungry again. That's good. It sure the system is working. Well, brothers and sisters, the Almighty God loves when we come to his word wanting to know his will. And when God sees you are willing to put out effort, he works with you. And that's exactly what, with what measure you meet out. That is how much effort you put out. God going to match it. Oh, let me stop this sermon because I'll go on speaking all day. Brothers and sisters, whatever you present will be filled. And that is, as one man says, in life there is a balance. That's right. You come to God with a small vessel. In fact, one passage I'm not going to get to go to it now, in Luke, imply when it says that even the little that he had, one translator pointed out that in the Greek it really, even the little that he thinks he has shall be taken away, and that is from Christ's own word. You see, if you want only little, even the little way you have going to be taken away. And remember, this is in reference to your desire to know God, to know God's will, and to serve him according to his will, not according to what you like and what you want. You know, people, tell people, when you hear people talk about the church of your choice, there is no such thing. If you can have the church of your choice, you can have the Savior of your choice. But in the same way the Almighty God give you one Lord Jesus Christ as Savior, as same way so him give you one true church. With what measure he mete out, the same will be measured to you. That has direct connection to be careful what you hear. And that passage is dealing with the kind. Next week, God's willing, we will deal with the how you hear. From Luke chapter 8 and verse 18. I think that's where Christ dealt with the how you hear. And that will be an interesting lesson. What kind of hearer are you? It is striking that Jesus Christ placed emphasis not only on what we hear, but the kind of hearers we are. You know, you have heard enough today to become a child of God. You need to, if you're here today, if you acknowledge that you have never become Christian the Bible's way, and that is the only way to become a Christian in God's sight. Wait. There is a difference between being a church member and being a Christian. A church member, if you're looking for church membership, you do what the church says to become a member of the various denominations. Now, to get your sins dealt with by the Almighty God through Christ, you have to do what Jesus Christ says according to the gospel. And in the Church of Christ, that's what we give you. To become a Christian, you must hear the gospel. That is, you must hear the basics, that Jesus Christ died at Calvary cross for your sin, and that your sins can be dealt with only through Christ and in Christ, and that you must believe in Christ, that he is the Son of God. He died for your sin. And that to be forgiven, not only must you believe in him, you must repent of your sin. That is, all the wrong things you know to be wrong in your life now, you must make a resolve to turn from them. That's repentance. It is simple. Before you repent, you are living your life, what you like, what you want. Now that you make up your mind to turn to Jesus Christ, you are going to turn from your way to Jesus' way. The Bible calls it repentance. Are you a Christian when you repent? No, the Bible says you must move on from repentance to confessing Christ's name. That's right. But Mr. Mitchell, that is simple. Yes, it is simple, but it is required. You must not be ashamed of Jesus Christ. You must be willing to say, I believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God. Are you a Christian when you confess Christ's name? No, you must take the other step. You must be baptized for the removal of your sin. You want me to run to half a dozen passages? No, the sermon is finished. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. On the day of Pentecost, when the first gospel message was preached, and thousands of men and women asked the apostle, what must we do? That is, what must we do to be saved? Peter told them, repent and get baptized, every one of you, in Christ's name for the removal of your sin. The Church of Christ today preaches the same gospel.